Hey Brawlers, this is Daniel Rowe. I just wanted to send a thank you out to all those who have donated to the Bard Brawl Journal campaign. Just a note that there are still a couple of weeks left, so if you do have the time and ability financially to give us a bit, doesn't have to be much, any amount will help. We would be most appreciated. Just go to Indiegogo.com and search for the Bard Brawl. $25 gets you a free copy of the future journal, 60 gets you a t-shirt. So there you go. Here's the Bard Brawl.
From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Her bard capes when she was a kid.
I like when she laughs. Yeah.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl.
It is a somber evening at Bard Brawl Studios.
Like Timon, we are about to wonder where all of our friends have gone.
Timon, our skeleton crew is wondering where all the friends are. I do not care where the rest of them are, because across from me is the bearded wonder in the Habs, sad Habs sweater, Mr. Eric Jean. Your depleted Habs team is much like our depleted Bard Brawl tonight.
They're not depleted anymore. They've got everybody back, or just about, except who cares? It's not like Sidney Crosby plays for us. It's, Alexei Emelin.
The legendary future Hall of Famer, Alexei Emelin.
We're better off with him than without him, but still.
That's not a ringing endorsement. Yeah.
Well, Murray's benched, so that's good.
Yeah. Do we discuss that we never trust players named Murray?
We don't trust
players. I don't trust players named Murray. And
Mr. Andy Murray.
Andy Murray? No. Don't trust him either. Andy Murray. Oh, the British tennis. Yeah, I don't trust him.
But it's all right. He doesn't play in a team, so he doesn't really need our trust because he's a one-man show.
Yeah.
It's a team sports thing.
He did win Wimbledon for the first time, a British in the history of blah, blah, blah.
How long has that tournament been going on, and how long did it take you guys to get a competitor?
And why did it have to be him? He's just so unlikable. Mr. Nick McMahon.
Greetings.
How is Mr. Nick on this chilly November evening?
I'm swell, just swell, Daniel. How are you?
I'm okay. How was your first tour of the Brawl?
First tour?
Tour of duty, I guess.
Tour of duty.
Tour of duty.
I hope.
A separate tour.
I fulfilled my Brawlian duties.
Yes, and a word we were discussing earlier that Eric...
Just to keep the profanity to a minimum.
Yeah, that first, yep. Also, Eric was saying, why is everything a nation? And I was thinking, because he said, greetings, Bard Brawl Nation, last time. And I thought... That isn't necessarily right.
And we want to do away with the nation state.
The nation state. Yeah. When the Brawl is a group of unlike-minded people just swinging haymakers.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing but haymakers, and you don't know who's coming, where it's coming from, and who you'll wind up on top of in the end. So Bard Brawlers, there is no nation. Don't feel that you need to...
Although apparently... Rochelle, my lovely wife, tells me that she put up our recent CBC article up on her feed, and that she has friends in Ottawa who are interested in starting up their own Bard chapter. So perhaps we will become Bard Brawl Nation.
Yeah.
Well,
and if any of you have ideas out there for a manifesto, we are taking manifesto suggestions at the moment.
Maybe we should
Indiegogo.com.
Maybe we should just brawl against the Ottawa Brawlers.
Ooh.
An epic fight midway, it'd be, Hudson or something?
Yeah, well, we could just record, we'll go to Gatineau, not Gatineau, I guess. Yeah, Hudson.
Oh, record, Oxford. yeah, I wasn't talking, I was thinking fight, either way.
Just take our hockey sticks out.
A note, a special thank you to Emily Murphy for her article on CBC Canada Writes on the Bard Brawl.
Not Emily Murray, Emily Murphy.
That's true. Emily Murphy did a nice article on the Bard Brawl. And again, if you would like to donate to the Bard Brawl Indiegogo campaign, as mentioned at the top of the show, Indiegogo.com. We are brawling in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
How many plays have been in Athens?
Of the ones we've done?
Of the ones... We haven't done too many in Athens, have we?
Pericles, no.
No. Pericles, no. He's kind of jumping around the islands.
Let's see. In Athens, I know that, well, technically A Midsummer Night's Dream is set in Athens. Right. Although, at Athens is suspiciously like the English countryside. But the...
We've been more in Italy for our recordings than we've been in Athens. But Shakespeare does like to go to... Greece and Italy.
Yeah, Greece less. Italy is much more common, probably, and especially with the comedies, because that's the sort of birthplace of modern comedy.
What's the point of setting... Mm-hmm. Well, this, I guess, is based on the Plutarch live mm-hmm. of Alcibiades, who we haven't really seen. He's just kind of showed up every once in a while. I did read both the lives of Coriolanus and Alcibiades. Mm-hmm. Again, I recommend... checking out Plutarch's lives. They're sort of the first biographies where he pairs the Greek and the Roman. The Greek, and then he does a comparison of the two.
Why the Greek was better?
Yeah, it's always... Greek was always better, and that may have something to do with the fact that Plutarch was a Greek living in Rome. Coriolanus is the other one. Mm-hmm. Both of them were kicked out of their city for an excess of honor.
Well, they were kicked out... Well, Alcibiades, well, and we'll see it when we get through the play, is that he's technically kicked out for the same reason that people are coming after Timon. He's got unpaid debts. And they're like, well, sorry, the laws say that you gotta go. And they try to sort of intercede and say, well, what about all the years of service? Or, oh, sorry, Alcibiades is not the one, I think, who's taken to task. It's one of his friends or something.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, he served our country well. Should we not, you know, try to forgive this offense? And there's like, no, he's got to go. So Alcibiades says, well, forget you guys then. I'm out of here. I can't defend a city that would condemn, you know, one of its loyal servants. So that's the parallel with Coriolanus. But Coriolanus basically says, I hate you commoners. I screw you.
Yeah. And for those of you who want to listen to the play Coriolanus, barbrawl.com. Search Coriolanus. I believe it was Andre Simonon who was Coriolanus in that reading.
Except for Act 3.
Ah.
I got to be Coriolanus.
Oh, for the common cry of Curlin. That's right. So we're in Act 3 of... Speaking of Act 3s, we're in Act 3 of Timon of Athens. And like Eric said, he's surrounded by sycophantic friends who he's... Then he realizes he's in debt. Then he's going to pay them. He realizes there's a guy getting out of jail who he lent a bunch of money to. What did I miss?
That's the basic thing. Timon welcomes all his friends over. He's very liberal, spends a bunch of his money. A senator comes around saying, hey, listen, buddy, you 6 weeks overdue to pay me this money back. He says, hey, no problem. I've got the money. His servant says, no, actually, you don't. You've been overspending it. And he says, okay, well, no big deal. I'll ask my friends to bail me out. You know, go ask this guy. Oh, actually, no, that guy already turned you down. Oh, I see. Okay, well, go ask these other guys. They're good for it. And that's, so he's about to find out that his friends suck.
Last scene, we had the famous line, I'm wealthy and my friends, which does not mean what it seems. Act 3, it's going to be just the three of us, so... Your job at home, listener, is to decipher whose voice is who, because we're going to be masking and playing the actor. Yes. So we are going pound for pound with Shakespeare, like we always do at the bar brawl, like two bottles of green glassed beer.
Mm. It may just well be the best beer in the world.
Green glassed. Mm. Heineken Stella. Oh, I won't mention the names because they don't pay. You're willing if you want to. We're open. Sponsorship. So we are in Lucullus's house. Have we met Lucullus before yet?
I don't know if we've met him, but he's one of the friends that Timon sends his servants to go ask.
He's one of the
three people.
Flattering lords.
Yeah, he sends mm-hmm. his servants to three different people, and this is one of them.
One of the tricks with this play is there's a lot of lords. Some of them have names, some of them don't. Which is.
Well, it's not super important, though.
It's not. They're actually not that important, because if you stage the play, you'll notice there's just a couple characters in the center, and then these lords sort of come out of the way. That's how
it stages. It actually makes a good play for a small company.
By the way, Pericles opening with a New Jersey theater company
yeah.
in December. I may just go down and check it out.
We should, yeah, we should see.
And all those in Montreal area, you should go check out Allison Darcy, who has been at the Bard Brawl. Her production of Othello, which opened on Friday and is running this week. Yeah. It's at the Seagal Theater. Look it up.
We may have some.
There will be a review on Bard Brawl pretty soon. If not already. All right. So, room in Lucullus's house. I will be the flattering Lord Lucullus. I think you were a Flaminius last time, Nick.
Yes.
And that would leave
Lucullus' servant.
That would servant and stage directions for Mr. Eric Shaw.
Sounds good.
3-1.
Act 3, Scene 1. Athens, a room in Lucullus' house. Enter Flaminius, Lucullus, and Lucullus' servant. Flaminius, waiting to speak with Lord Lucullus from his master, enters Lucullus' servant to him. I have told you, my lord, of you. He is coming down to you.
I thank you, sir.
Enter Lucullus. Here's my lord.
One of Lord Timon's men? A gift? A warrant? Why, this hits right. I dreamt of a silver basin and ewer tonight. Flaminius, honest Flaminius, you are very respectively welcome, sir. Fill me some wine.
Exit Lucullus's servant.
And how goes that honorable, complete, free-hearted gentleman of Athens, thy very bountiful good lord and master?
His health is well, sir.
I am right glad that his health is well, sir. And what hast thou there under thy cloak, pretty Flaminius?
Faith, nothing but an empty box, sir, which, in my lord's behalf, I come to entreat your honor to supply. Who, having great and instant occasion to use 50 talents, hath sent to your lordship to furnish him, nothing doubting your present assistance therein?
La 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 la, nothing doubting, says he. Alas, good lord, a noble gentleman tis, if he would not keep so good a house. Many a time and often I had dined with him and told him on it, and come again to supper to him, of purpose to have him spend less, and yet he would embrace no counsel. Take no warning by my coming. Every man has his fault, and honesty is his. I had told him on it, but I could ne'er get him from it.
Enter the servant with the wine. But please, your lordship, here is the wine.
Flaminius, I have noted thee always wise. Here's to thee.
Your lordship speaks your pleasure.
I have observed thee always for a towardly prompt spirit. Give thee thy due, and one that knows what belongs to reason, and canst use the time well, if the time use thee well. Good parts in thee.
To the servant.
Get ye gone, sirrah.
Exit me.
Draw near! Honest Flaminius, thy lord's a bountiful gentleman, but thou art wise, and thou knowest well enough, although thou comest to see me, that this is no time to lend money, especially upon bare friendship without security. Here's 3 solidaires for thee, good boy. Wink at me, and say thou sawst me not. Fare thee well.
Is it possible the world should so much differ, and we alive that lived? Fly! Damned baseness to him that worships thee!
Throwing the money back.
Chingle, 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 chingle. Ha! Now I see thou art a fool and fit for thy master!
Exit Lucullus.
May these add to the number that may scald thee! Let molten coin be thy damnation! Thou disease of a friend, and not himself! Has friendship such a faint and milky heart? It turns in less than 2 nights? Oh, you gods, I feel master's passion. This slave, unto his honor, has my lord's meat in him. Why should it thrive and turn to nutriment, when he is turned to poison? Oh, may diseases only work upon it, and when he's sick to death, let not that part of nature which my lord paid for be of any power to expel sickness, but prolong his hour.
Exit. Oof. I love that he's like, I told him I'd go for lunch, and I would tell him, and then I'd go back for supper, and I would tell him again. And yeah. Of course you're like,
You're eating all this
eating
food.
All this food.
you're a merch.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Nobody has any... We don't know any friends like that.
No.
I can't think of a single one.
I've never met a person like that in my life.
It's something like fantasy. It's like I'm reading about Ewoks. Okay, we have another flattering lord. This should be good. Eric, do you want to be Lucius?
Yes, I believe Lucius is the servant.
No, he's another flattering
lord. Oh, yes, he's a flattering...
I will be a stranger on. And... well, maybe I'll be Servilius, because he's another servant. Okay, Servilius is a servant.
Do you want to field both strangers, Nick?
Sure.
Or...
Two voices.
Two voices. There's 3 strangers?
Or the 3.
They talk quite a bit to each other towards the end, so...
Okay, that could... All right.
Okay, we'll jump on 1, 2, and 3.
We'll figure it out.
I'll be 2 stranger. Number two.
So you'll be one and three?
Yeah, one and three, sure.
Okay, right. Cool.
Enter Lucius with three strangers. A public place.
Who? The Lord Timon? He's my very good friend and an honorable gentleman.
We know him for no less, though we are but strangers to him. But I can tell you one thing, my lord, and which I hear from common rumours. Now Lord Timon's happy hours are done and past, and his estate shrinks from him.
Fie, no, do not believe it. He cannot want for money.
But I believe you this, my lord, that not long ago one of his men was with the Lord Lucullus for Lord to borrow so many talents, nay, urge extremely for it, and show what necessity belonged to it, and yet was denied.
How?
I'll tell you, denied, my lord.
What a strange case was that. And before the gods, I'm ashamed on it. Denied that honorable man? There was very little honor shown in it. For my part, I must needs confess, I have received some small kindness from him, as money, plate, jewels, and such like trifles, nothing compared to his. Yet he had mistook him, and sent to me, I should ne'er have denied his occasion so many talents.
Enter Servilius. See, my good hap, yonder's my lord. I have sweat to see his honor. I've sweat to see his honor. My honored lord!
Servilius, you are kindly met, sir. Fare thee well. Commend me to thy honorable, virtuous lord, my very exquisite friend.
May it please your honor, my lord hath sent...
What has he sent? I am so much endeared to that lord. He's ever sending. How shall I thank him, thinkest thou? And what has he sent now?
Has only sent his present occasion now, my lord, requesting your lordship to supply his instant use with so many talents.
I know his lordship is but merry with me. He cannot want 500 talents.
But in the meantime, he wants less, my lord. If his occasion were not virtuous, I should not urge it half so faithfully.
Dost thou speak seriously,
Servilius? Upon my soul, 'tis true, sir.
What wicked beast was I to disfurnish myself against such a good time when I might have shown myself honorable? How unlucky it happened that I should purchase the day before for a little part and undo a great deal of honor. Servilius, now before the gods, I am not able to do more beast, I say. I was sending to use Lord Timon myself, these gentlemen could witness, but I would not, for the wealth of Athens, had I done it now. Commend me bountifully to his good lordship, and I hope his honor will conceive the fairest of me, because I have no power to be kind. And tell him this from me, I count it one of my greatest afflictions, say that I cannot pleasure such an honorable gentleman. Good Servilius, will you befriend me so far as to use mine own words to him?
Yes, sir, I shall.
Exit Servilius.
After.
Oh, okay, never mind then. I'll look you out a good turn, Servilius.
Servilius goes.
True, as you said, Timon is shrunk indeed, and he's once denied will hardly speed.
Goes.
Do you observe this, Hostilius?
Aye, too well.
Why, this is the world's soul, and just of the same piece. Is every flatterer's spirit? Who can call him his friend that dips in the same dish? For in my knowing, Timon has been this lord's father, and kept his credit with his purse, supported his estate. Nay, Timon's money has been paid his men their wages. He never drinks, but Timon's silver treads upon his lip. And yet, oh, see the monstrousness of a man when he looks out in an ungrateful shape. He does deny him in respect of his what charitable men afford to beggars.
Religion groans at it.
For mine own part, I never tasted Timon in my life. Nor came any of his bounties over me to mark me for his friend. Yet, I protest, for his right noble mind, illustrious virtue, and honourable carriage, had his necessity made use of me, I would have put my wealth into donation, and the best half should have returned to him. So much I love his heart. But I perceive men must learn now with pity to dispense, for policy sits above conscience.
They go. Okay, we have one more flattering lord. They all come in threes, so...
Pretty much.
I was Lucullus, you were Lucius.
I think it's Nick's time to be
Nick,
a flattering lord.
You get to be Sempronius, who is a flattering lord. So, take your time, get into character.
Do you want to be Timon's servant, or and I'll be stage directions, or...
You can be servant if you want.
Okay. Very well. I shall be servant of Timon.
A room in... I do have the Cambridge edition. which,
please,
as we all have established in Bard Brawl's past,
it's is part of the Bard Brawl lore.
Superior stage directions, even though
they're made
Eric
up by some
tried to jump my own stage directions. Did not trust the Cambridge. Always trust the Cambridge. Enter Sempronius, and a servant of Timon's. A room in Sempronius' house.
Must he needs trouble me in it, hum? Of all others, he might have tried Lord Lucius or Lucullus, and now Ventidius is wealthy too, whom he redeemed from prison. All these owe their states unto him.
My lord, they have all been touched and found base metal, for they have all denied him.
How? How?
Have they Take denied your time. Him?
Has Ventidius and Lucullus denied him? And does he send to me? Three? Hum! It shows but little love or judgment in him. Must I be his last refuge? His friends, like physicians, thrive. Give him over. Must I take the cure upon me? As much disgraced me in it. I'm angry at him that might have known my place. I see no sense for it, but his occasion might have wooed me first, for in my conscience I was the first man that ever received gift from him. And does he think so backwardly of me now that I'll requite its last? No, no. So it may prove an argument of laughter to the rest, and amongst lords I be thought a fool. I'd rather than the worth of thrice the sum had sent to me first, but for my mind's sake I'd such courage to do him good. But now return with their faint reply this answer join. Who bates mine honor shall not know my coin.
Exit.
Exit, he goes.
Oh, sorry, Daniel, but...
Failing the Cambridge.
Excellent. Your lordship's a goodly villain. The devil knew not when he did when he made man politic. He crossed himself
I
by
like
it.
That.
And I cannot think, but in the end, the villainies of man will set him clear. How fairly this lord strives to appear foul. Takes virtuous copies to be wicked, like those that under hot ardent zeal would set whole realms on fire. Of such a nature is his politic love. This was my lord's best hope. Now all are fled, save only the gods. Now his friends are dead, doors that were never acquainted with their wards. Many a bounteous year must be employed to guard, secure their master. This is all a liberal course allows. Cannot keep his wealth, must keep his house.
Goes. All the lords are used up. Now we go back to Timon's house. Now we have a bunch of servants here, so listeners, please be patient, because we have Hortensius, who's a servant, Titus is a servant, Philotas is a servant, or Philotas is a servant, but there's also characters called servants. So maybe we'll just, if you're reading a double character, just say the name of who you're reading.
Yeah, I've got Timon's in here, so I'm
so
gonna be quite
you
busy.
Are Timon, and I was Flavius last time.
Mm-hmm.
Filling in for Stephanie, who's away for the month.
It looks like Hortensius doesn't say very much, so maybe
yeah,
I can be him.
None of them do. Hortensius and Philotas and Titus, they all kind of don't say too much, so. You can grab Titus, I guess, Nick, and then Philotas, and we'll jump on the other servants, and we'll see how it goes. This is act three, scene four.
Mm.
It's a hall in Timon's house.
Sorry.
Enter. I gave him a nasty look there. or condescending look, really. A hall. Enter two servants of Varro. Varro was one of the lords, wasn't it? That he owes money to?
Yes, I believe so.
He's not actually a character in this play, though, Varro.
No.
And the servant of Lucius, meeting Titus, Hortensius, and other servants of Timon's creditors waiting his coming out. So there's a big... I guess a bunch of servants. Can we get our money now? First Varro servant. Well met, good morrow, Titus and Hortensius.
The like to you, kind Varro.
Lucius, what do we meet together?
Aye, and I think one business does command us all, for mine is money.
So is theirs and ours.
Enter Philotas. And Sir Philotas too.
Lucilius' servant and Sir Philotas too.
Good day at once.
Welcome, good brother. What do you think the hour?
Laboring for nine.
So much?
Has not my lord seen yet?
Not yet.
I wonder on it. He was wont to shine at seven.
Aye, but the days are waxed shorter with him. You must consider that a prodigal course is like the sun's, but not like his. Recoverable, I fear. 'Tis deepest winter, and our timon's purse, that is. One may reach deep enough, and yet find little.
I am of your fear for that.
I'll show you how to observe a strange event. Your lord sends now for money.
Most true he does.
And he wears jewels now of timon's gift, for which I wait for money.
It is against my heart. Mark how strange it shows Timon in this should pay more than he owes, and e'en as if your lord should wear rich jewels and send for money for him.
I'm weary of this charge. The gods can witness. I know my lord has spent of Timon's wealth, and now ingratitude makes it worse than stealth.
Yes, mine. 3,000 crowns. What's yours?
5,000 mine.
'Tis much deep, and it should seem the sum. Your master's confidence was above mine, else surely his had equaled.
Enter Flaminius.
We attend his lordship. Pray signify so much.
I need not tell him that. He knows you are too diligent.
Go. So he was playing both Flaminius and Titus there. Mm. Enter Flavius in a cloak muffled.
Ah, is now that his steward muffled so? He goes away in a cloud. Call him, call him.
Do you hear, sir?
By your leave, sir.
What do you ask of me, my friend?
We wait for certain money here,
aye,
sir.
Aye, if money was as certain as you're waiting, 'twere sure enough. Why then preferred you not your summoned bills when your false masters ate my lord's meat?
Then they could smile and fawn upon his debts and take down the interest into their gluttonous maws. You do yourselves but wrong to stir me up. Let me pass quietly. Believe it. My lord and I have made an end. I have no more to reckon, he to spend.
Aye, but this answer will not serve.
If 'twill not serve, 'tis not so base as you, for you serve knaves.
Exit.
How, what does his cashiered worship mutter?
No matter what, he's poor, and that's revenge enough. Who can speak broader than he that has no house to put his head in? Such may rail against great buildings.
That is, I've always, I rail against both the governments of North America and pretty much across the world, and that hatred of the poor. What is worse than that he's poor?
Mm.
There's nothing that America or Canada hates more than the poor.
Mm.
Everything else is anyway. And that's a little politics there for you. You're welcome.
But the poor will be provided for in Bard Brawl Nation.
Enter! Enter Servilius.
Oh, here's Servilius now. Now we shall know some answer.
Was Servilius you or me?
You.
Okay. Oh, man. If I might beseech you, gentlemen, to repair some other hour, I should derive much from it. For take of my soul, my lord leans wondrously to discontent. His comfortable temper has forsook him. He's much out of health and keeps his chamber.
Many do keep their chamber, are not sick, and if it be so far beyond his health, methinks he should the sooner pay his debts and make a clear way to the gods.
Good gods!
We cannot take this for answer, sir.
From within.
That's you,
Flaminius. Servilius, help! My lord, my lord!
Enter Timon in a rage, Flaminius following.
What? Are my doors opposed against my passage? Have I been ever free, and must my house be retentive enemy? My jail, the place which I have feasted, does it now, like all mankind, show me an iron heart?
Put it now, Titus.
My lord, here is my bill.
Here's mine.
Sorry.
It says, my lord, here is my bill.
Here's mine.
And mine, my lord.
And ours, my lord. All our bills. Knock me down with them. Cleave me to the girdle.
Alas, my lord.
Cut my heart in sums.
Mine 50 talents.
Till out my blood.
5,000 crowns, my lord.
5,000 drops pay that. What yours and yours?
My lord.
My lord.
Hear me, tear me, take me, and the gods fall upon you.
Goes.
Faith, I perceive our masters may throw their caps at their money. These debts may well be called desperate ones, for Madam owes them. They go. Enter Timon and Flavius.
They have even put my breath from me, the slaves. Creditors,
my
devils.
My dear lord.
What if it should be so?
My lord.
I'll have it so. My steward.
Here, my lord.
So fitly. Go, bid all my friends again. Lucius, Lucullus, Sempronius, all. Oh, once more feast the rascals.
Oh, my lord, you only speak from your distracted soul. There is not so much left to furnish out a moderate table.
Be it not in thy care. Go. I charge thee, invite them all. Let in the tide of knaves once more. My cook and I'll provide.
They go. Whew. I love when you actually know what's going to happen. Because I'm just thinking about it.
We're not going to tell
you. I won't tell you. So we're at the Senate House. Enter three senators.
I'll be Senator One.
Oh, now we're going to actually deal with Alcibiades.
We need Alcibiades, though. Would you rather be...
Yeah, be an Alcibiades.
Be Alcibiades.
Yeah, okay. Be like a noble patrician lord or whatever.
Sorry, I keep saying it, but the Plutarch is really good. Enter three senators. Alcibiades attended at the door. Eric, do you want to be the first senator?
Okay, sounds good.
Alcibiades, Senate House, go. Yeah.
My lord, you have my voice to it. The fault's bloody. 'Tis necessary he should die. Nothing emboldens sin so much as mercy.
Most true, the law shall bruise him. Alcibiades is brought forward.
Honor, health, and compassion to the Senate.
Now, Captain?
I am an humble suitor to your virtues. For pity is the virtue of the law, and none but tyrants use it cruelly. It pleases time and fortune to lie heavy upon a friend of mine who, in hot blood, hath stepped into the law, which is past death to those that, without heed, do plunge into it. He is a man, setting his fate aside, of comely virtues. Nor did he sole the fact with cowardice, and honor in him which buys out his fault, but with a noble fury and fair spirit, seeing his reputation touched to death. He did oppose his foe, and with such sober and unnoted passion, he did behave his anger, ere 'twas spent, as if he had but proved an argument.
You undergo too strict a paradox, striving to make an ugly deed look fair. Your words have took such pain as if they labored to bring manslaughter into form, and set quarreling upon the head of valor, which indeed is valor misbegot, and came into the world when sects and factions were newly born. He's truly valiant that can wisely suffer the worst that man can breathe, and make his wrongs his outsides, to wear them like his raiment, carelessly, and ne'er prefer his injuries to the heart to bring it into danger. If wrongs be evil and enforce us kill, what folly 'tis to hazard life for ill.
My lord,
you cannot make gross sins look clear. To revenge is no valor but to bear.
My lords, then, under favor, pardon me. If I speak like a captain, why do fond men expose themselves to battle and not endure all threats? Sleep on it, and let the foes quietly cut their throats without repugnancy. If there be such valor in the bearing, what make we abroad? Why then, women are more valiant that stay at home, if bearing carry it. And the ass more captain than the lion, the felon loaden with irons wiser than the judge. If wisdom be in suffering, oh, my lords, as you are great, be pitifully good. Who cannot condemn rashness and cold blood? To kill, I grant, is sin's extremest gust, but in defense by mercy, 'tis most just. To be in anger is impiety, but who is man that is not angry? Weigh but the crime with this.
You breathe in vain.
In vain? His service done at Lycodamon and Byzantium. We're a sufficient briber for his life.
What's that?
I say, my lords, he has done fair service and slain in fight many of your enemies. How full of valor did he bear himself in the last conflict and made plenteous wounds?
He has made too much plenty with him. He has sworn rioter. He has a sin and often drowns him and takes his valor prisoner.
If there were no foes that were enough to overcome him in that beastly fury, he hath been known to commit outrages and cherish factions. 'Tis inferred to us his days are foul and his drink dangerous.
He dies.
Hard fate. He might have died in war. My lords, if not for any parts in him, though his right arm might purchase his own time and be in debt to none, yet more to move you. Take my deserts to his and join him both. And for I know your reverend age's love, security, I'll pawn my victories, all my honors to you, upon his good returns. If by this crime he owes the law his life, why, let the war receive it in valiant gore, for law is strict and war is nothing more.
We are for law. He dies, urge it no more on height of our displeasure. Friend or brother, he forfeits his own blood that spills another.
Must it be so? It must not be. My lords, I do beseech you, know me.
How?
Call me to your remembrances.
What?
I cannot think but your age has forgot me. It could not else be I should prove so base to sue and be denied such common grace. My wounds ache at you.
Do you dare our anger? 'Tis in few words, but spacious in effect. We banish thee forever.
Banish me? Banish your dotage, banish usury that makes the Senate ugly.
If after 2 days' shine Athens contain thee, attend our weightier judgment, and not to swell our spirit, he shall be executed presently.
Senators, go.
Now the gods keep you old enough that you may live only in bone, that none may look on you. I'm worse than mad. I've kept back their foes while they have told their money and let out their coin upon large interest. I myself rich only in large hurts. All those for this? Is this the balsam that the usuring Senate pours into captains' wounds? Banishment? Comes not ill, I hate not to be banished. It is a cause worthy my spleen and fury, that I may strike at Athens. I'll cheer up my discontented troops and lay for hearts. 'Tis honor with most lands to be at odds. Soldiers should brook as little wrongs as gods.
Goes.
Those are little Coriolanus moments.
Yeah. But
there is a world elsewhere.
Yeah.
Speech.
I banish you.
This almost doesn't fit in the play.
It's not even clear who they're talking about.
Yeah.
It seems like someone got into an altercation, a soldier or something, got into some sort of brawl.
Yeah.
Bing! Street fight, you know, or something, and that they're looking to punish them with death for this. But I don't know, is he talking
about Timon?
I think it's a contrast. I think they're contrasting Timon, who's spent all his money maybe foolishly, but and Alcibiades, who's like, well, listen, someone made a mistake once, like, shouldn't we, you trained him to be a soldier, shouldn't we? This actually would make a good kind of one of those like you know, post-traumatic stress, like post-war movies. Mm. Rambo, for instance. Very much an Alcibiades, whoever Alcibiades is defending, he could be talking about Rambo.
See, it may just look like a brawl, but there are ideas spewing forth that can be transformed into gold.
Are we not witnessing Shakespeare's drafting process at work? Maybe that's how, this is the birth of Timon in this scene. You know, he could have just been... The whole plot could have sprung out of this moment.
Because he sort of talks about the sick, the sycophantry and the sort of like these froofy Athenian lords that don't seem to really get what's going on. Mm-hmm. They just use everybody, and they don't realize their own ruin is coming, and they're kicking out the generous lord and the noble soldier. Both get kicked.
Yeah, basically they're unwilling to forgive people their sort of mistakes. Whoever the soldier was, and then Timon.
And we have one more scene, and it's in a banqueting room in Timon's house. Yes. And me and Nick will have to be the lords because Timon is in this one.
It's pretty much just Timon and the lords, and
it's interesting that in this, I don't know if this is a translation or if it was always like this, but all the lords in this have no names, although one can assume they were the
Lucullus and Ventidius and all those other guys,
flattering lords.
Yeah, I guess you guys can just...
It's sort of almost great that they're nameless, and I feel like they had to be named at one point in time, but I just love the idea of faceless.
That'd be a really cool way to stage this, where you have all the same lords, but they sort of come back in a kind of masquerade format.
Yeah.
So you don't actually know who is who, and everyone kind of looks the same, and then they're, well, anyways, we'll see what happens.
Because it does paint it really nicely, and even Alcibiades with the senators, they're also very faceless, and it's these two singularities stuck
in it. But it certainly takes a turn in Act 3 towards grimness, right? Like, it becomes very grim very fast.
Once Apomantis is gone, it becomes grim, much like once the once the fool's gone.
He'll be back.
Oh, he'll be back? Okay.
Yeah, not in this act, but
I didn't think he came back.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a gloat over time and later.
The guy who played Apomantis in the Bard on the Beach I saw was excellent. He had aviator sunglasses on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be Lord One here.
All right, music.
Odd and he can be even.
Okay. Table set out, servants attending. Enter divers, lords, senators, and others at several doors. Bong. Thank you.
Bom, 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 bom. Sorry, continue.
The good time of day to you, sir.
I also wish it to you. I think this honorable lord did but try us the other day.
Upon that were my thoughts showering. When we encountered, I hope it is not so low with him as he made it seem in the trial of his several friends.
I should not be by the persuasion of his new feasting.
I should think so. He hath sent me an earnest inviting, which many my near occasions did urge me to put off. But he hath conjured me beyond them, and I must needs appear.
In like manners was I in debt to my importunate business, but he would not hear my excuse, I am sorry, when he sent to borrow of me that my provision was out.
I am sick of that grief, too, as I understand how all things go.
Every man hears so. What would we have borrowed of you?
1,000 pieces.
1,000 pieces?
What of you?
He sent to me, sir. Here he comes.
Enter Timon in attendance. With all my heart, gentlemen both, and how fare you?
Ever at the best, hearing well of your lordship.
The swallow follows not the summer more willing than we, your lordship.
Aside, no more willing leaves winter, since summer birds are meant.
Aloud.
Gentlemen, our dinner will not recompense this long stay. Feast your ears with the music a while, if they will fare so harshly on the trumpet sound. We shall to it presently.
I hope it remains not unkindly with your lordship that I returned you an empty messenger.
Oh, sir, let it not trouble you.
My noble lord.
Ah, my good friends, what cheer?
My noble lord, I'm even sick of shame that when your lordship this other day sent to me, I was so unfortunate a beggar.
Think not on it, sir.
If you had sent but 2 hours before.
Let us not cumber your better remembrance. Come, bring in all together.
All covered dishes?
Royal cheer, I warrant you.
Doubt not that, if money and the season can yield it.
How do you? What's the news?
Alcibiades is banished. Hear you of it?
Alcibiades banished?
'Tis so, be sure of it.
How? How?
I pray you, upon what?
My sir? Worthy friends, will you draw near?
I'll tell you more anon. Here's a noble feast toward. This is the old man still. Wilt hold, wilt hold? It does, but time will, and so I do conceive.
Each man to his stool, with that spur as he would to the lip of his mistress. Your diet shall be in all places alike. Make not a city feast of it, to let the meat cool ere we can agree upon the first place. Sit, sit. The gods require our thanks. You great benefactors, sprinkle our society with thankfulness. For your own gifts make yourself praised, but reserve still to give, lest your deities be despised. Lend to each man enough that one need not lend to another. For were your godheads to borrow of men, men would forsake the gods. Make the meat be beloved more than the man that gives it. Let no assembly of 20 be without a score of villains.
If there sit 12 women at the table, let a dozen of them be as they are. The rest of your fees, O gods, the senators of Athens, together with the common lag of people, what is amiss in them, you gods, make suitable for destruction. For these, my present friends, as they are to me nothing, so in nothing bless them, and to nothing are they welcome. Uncover, dogs, and lap.
The dishes are uncovered and seen to be full of warm water and stones.
What is this? May you a better feast never behold, you not of mouth friends. Smoke and lukewarm water is your perfection. This is Timon's last, who, stuck and spangled with your flatteries, washes it off and sprinkles in your face your reeking villainy.
Throwing the water in their faces.
Loathed and long.
Oh, my eye.
Most smiling, smooth.
My jeans.
Shit, man, my iPhone. lived loathed and long, most smiling, smooth, detested parasites, courteous destroyers, affable wolves, meek bears, you fools of fortune, trencher friends, times, flies, cap and knee slaves, vapor and minute jackals, of man and beast, the infinite malady cursed you quite over. What? Dost thou go? Soft, take thy physic first, thou too, and thou. Stay, I will lend thee money, borrow none.
Throws the stones at them and drives them out.
What? All in motion, henceforth be no feast, whereat a villain not welcome a guest. Burnt house, sink, Athens, henceforth hated be of time and man and all humanity.
Goes. Ranch of the lords, senators, etc.
How now, my lords?
Know you the quality of Lord Timon's fury? Push! Did you see my cap?
That's basically your my jeans comment.
I have lost my gown.
He's but a mad lord, and naught but humor sways him. He gave me a jewel the other day, and now he has beat it out of my hat. Did you see my jewel?
Did you see my cap?
Yes, it is.
Here lies my gown. Let's make no stay.
Lord Timon's mad. I feel it upon my bones.
One day he gives us diamonds, next day stones.
They go.
I love that they're all so clueless. Why is he mad at us, dude? Like,
oh god, he's having another party. That's humanity, though. He was asking for all this money. He must have found money somewhere. Someone else must have given it to him. Let's go to the party.
All in all, that was a very strange lottery.
Hey, they throw stones, just like in the lottery. Mm. Not to ruin the ending of that story, if any of you high school students haven't read it 3 times.
I saw how the Greeks voted with stones.
Yes, that's true. I think you're right.
Yeah. Ah. And he's throwing them.
Democracy, folks, which we will have at Barbell Nation.
Well, the nation is just the nation. You're talking about the Barbell state. You're going into the utopia. State of Barbell. Right. We haven't solidified what the nation will look like.
Shakespeare's plays present many utopias that work brilliant.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
Thank you all for joining us for Act 3 of Timon of Athens. It's a good speech here that may find itself onto the speeches podcast there.
Those insults are pretty amazing.
And Eric will spend the next week getting his throat nice and clear for all of the many speeches that Timon has.
Oh yeah, there's a few of them.
Yeah, I know there's some coming up. I remember them well.
But Apamantis comes back.
He does?
Yeah. He comes back and he's...
He visits him in his...
I don't know if he's almost like a chorus. He's not really speaking whatever. I don't think Timon really hears him too much, but he's passing comments.
Oh, yeah, I see. He comes back. Yeah. Ah, good. I get to come back as Ape Mantis.
Isn't I told you so, right?
Kind of.
This is one of those plays that gets really... It gets really surreal, almost, in how... It's like Lear in that... sort of wandering in the desert. That's kind of where I find Shakespeare the best, especially the tragedies.
But it's like Coriolanus too. It's like a lot of these plays around this time seem to have a sort of banishment. Yeah. They seem to have a sort of banishment exile thing, right? Like Timon's going to be effectively an exile. Alcibiades gets exiled. Coriolanus leaves.
King Lear is divested of everything and sort of kicked out into the wilderness.
Don't the Cymbeline, doesn't...
Cymbeline too, but well, there are kids who grew up in a cave. They get sort of...
Yeah, they're...
It's a little different, but there's still that whole exile thing.
Huh, it's interesting. If any of you Bard Brawlers have any versions of this play that you have seen, or if you are producing a play much like New Jersey Shakespeare... Company, we'll put a link to your the site on our next blog post. Please let us know. You can contact us in a variety of ways: Facebook, Twitter, barbrawl@gmail.com, or
comments
on the actual page itself. Letters that are written and slid under my door are not read. I light them on fire, pour water on them, and dump them on people on the street.
And then weep.
That's what I think of letters.
Letters made from letters that you cut out of newspaper print. Also, we don't really read this.
Although I appreciate the effort, it's creepy. I don't like it. Did you do that? You could have just sent me a text.
I did the calligraphy letter.
Yeah. That's true. So we will be back in Act 4 of Timon of Athens. Go to Indiegogo.com. Bye.
See you next time.
With that, I bid you adieu.
I gotta channel Jim Reed.
Everybody has to do that.
That's just the
someone has to. Well, that was Zoe who first started making fun of me. That's true.
Sonnet 56. Sweet love, renew thy force, be it not said, thy edge should blunter be than appetite, which but today by feeding this allayed, tomorrow sharpened in his former might. So love, be thou, although today thou fill thy hungry eyes even till they wink with fullness, tomorrow see again, and do not kill the spirit of love with a perpetual dullness. Let this sad interim like the ocean be, which parts the shore, where two contracted new come daily to the banks that, when they see return of love, more blessed may be the view. Else call it winter, which being full of care, makes summer's welcome thrice more wished, more rare.